I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We say hello to you on this Thursday afternoon. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be in the Bluegrass State, getting you ready for Week 6 of college football season. But right now, let's get to some headlines before we get to your phone calls. And it is all about Auburn and Georgia. You know what they say about this game. It's one of the most traditional games. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry. And upset-minded Auburn is thinking about a big win. Remember 4 years ago? Auburn beat the number one Georgia Bulldogs in the same spot. 2 weeks later, they beat the number one ranked Crimson Tide. Louis Grizzard, one of the legendary figures in Georgia history, love this game very much. I think I had seen Lewis at this game before, and we will talk about that a little bit later on. Meanwhile, don't forget about Matt Corral. A lot of people forgot about him after last week, but he's got revenge on his mind for many, many reasons. Arkansas comes to town, and that was not exactly his finest moment a year ago. Meanwhile, Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, he's been to 4,000. No, he hasn't, but I just decided to say that. Auburn-Georgia games. Peter Stoddard, the official, well, unofficial biographer of Louis Grizzard. Connor O'Gara, who's still waiting to do his first book. Mike Griffith, who will have books written about him. And Michael Katz covers Ole Miss. He'll join us later in the show. But first, and you know what I'm about to say, your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Well, let's begin with Nathan in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Nathan.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
We are doing great, Nathan. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just calling in. I'm a big Kentucky fan, and you had Michael Eaves on the show yesterday and wanted to call in and maybe discuss a little bit what I was thinking about Mark Stoops and other jobs and give you some points why he shouldn't leave Kentucky, since I feel like he's already built it. It's built. Okay. It's ready to go. Why leave?
Let's hear it.
First thing is he's making, I think he's the 15th highest paid coach. He makes over $5 million a year, which is more than like the FSU coach. If you look at FSU, I thought they went after him a little bit last year. We pay more. He owns a majority stake in a bourbon company. I feel like why leave when you've got a bourbon company right there? The other thing is the loyalty factor. In his second year, people forget, but Mitch signed him to a contract when we were 5-1, like six-year, $24 million deal. So whatever it was, I don't know the exact numbers, but Stoops comes off to me as someone who's loyal and is not just going to go running off to Florida State where – but our boosters are better. I think our basketball program proves that we, if you win, we'll build you a statue.
Tell me more about that bourbon company. I didn't realize Mark Stoops was involved in that.
Well, I tell you what, we'll come down and see you Saturday when we're down there, and we'll take you over there or something. But yeah, he owns a majority stake in a bourbon company.
Okay, well, by the way, is 10 a.m. in the morning too early to drink bourbon?
No.
Just asking for a friend.
No.
Okay, well, count on seeing me early Saturday morning. I mean, if you're in the Bluegrass State, you have to do what others do, don't you? Let's continue with more phone calls. Bluegrass Bill, I think we know where his allegiance lie. How are you, Bluegrass?
I'm fine, Paul. I'm a blast from the past. I'm not actually from the Bluegrass. I'm from Alabama. And I was one of the first callers when you went to the radio show. I'd read your columns for years and loved it. Not only are you the best talk show host on TV, you were the best columnist in the South for a long, long time, and I always admired your columns.
Well, thank you, Blue.
But when I called in...
I appreciate you saying that. I never wanted to do anything else, I'm not saying I agree with you about my writing skills, but it is.
I'm right.
Okay, I agree with you then.
Anyway, I would always call. This is when you first went on the radio,
right?
I would call, and I used the moniker Bluegrass Bill, and I would really actually try to make you mad.
Sure.
I'm an avid Alabama fan, but you didn't know that. when I was calling, I mean, it was really in the beginning, like 30-something years ago. And Don from downtown, and there was another guy from Irondale. And I can't recall his name.
Ray from Irondale.
He was a super caller.
Yeah, Ray was great.
He was. And I used to call you 3 or 4 times a week and get you to try to hang up on me.
I bet we could come up with the 10 callers that we had. I found this is a little-known secret. I found this out one night. The original show, Bob Lockamy was my partner. I found mm-hmm. that Bob was calling people to have them call in. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We had so few listeners.
Yeah, he had said that before.
And even fewer callers. So Lockamy would go and say, "Hey, Bluegrass, can I put you on hold?"
Yeah, it was a great show. It really was. You are what's made you. Nobody else has made you. I mean, you've been great all along.
I have to disagree with you, Bill. Jim from Tuscaloosa made me. Don't you know that?
I heard him say that, but my regards for Jim aren't much, but. The reason I quit calling you is that the agency I work, the company that I work for, assigned me overseas to Europe mostly.
Right.
And I was over there until I came back some time ago. But then you had gone on TV, and when I moved to Daphne, Alabama, I could watch you on TV.
Right.
And that was that's why I got the SEC Network. Because you were on there. And I just wanted to say that I've admired you forever. And believe me, you are the best at what you do.
Well, Bill,
regardless of what Jim says.
I really, it's great to hear from you again. And that was a long time ago, but those words mean a great deal. Yeah, we had it was a fun show. I mean, I've told this story before. We didn't have more than 10 to 15 callers, and they all knew each other. They would come up to, we would bring them in groups on Fridays and have caller roundtable discussions that often ended up in death threats and people trying to kill each other. But it just made it part of the aura of the show. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I agree with Bill. You're great because you're close to the people and you give the common people like all of us a voice. And I appreciate you and your crew every day. Watching the season play out, I've not really been impressed with any team. Any conference, the offensive line. This is a theoretical question, I guess. What do you think is getting harder to recruit, 4 or 5 good offensive linemen or a stud quarterback? That'll be my first question.
Well, I do think not only are offensive linemen difficult to recruit, they're also difficult to develop. And
right. They
are critically important. I mean, look at Clemson right now. Everyone thought they had the best quarterback in the country, but we don't know if he is or he isn't. He doesn't look like it.
He's,
but he has no offensive line.
Life.
So what are you going to do without a line?
Right. Secondly, everyone's past year or two has been talking about pride, you know, give the little man a chance and everything. They're inching Cincinnati up closer inch by inch, week by week. But really, my second question is, when the Heisman race this year, I'm just not buying into it, because really, to me, honestly, the two best quarterbacks in the nation are at Liberty, and you'll get to see the other one tonight at Coastal Carolina, honestly, I believe. I mean, if college football wants to be serious, I mean, parity really exists. I would take Malik any day over Matt Corral. So, I mean, if you want to get serious about parity, why not inch them up a little closer in the Heisman race?
Well, let me say this about that. The Heisman race has not begun yet. And I know you may look at some publication and see Heisman favorites, but that's irrelevant. Matt Corral and Bryce Young have been leading all year, Ritter from Cincinnati, but that's a beauty contest right now. It starts in the middle of the season, and it really matters what you're doing in late November. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are up against a break. We will continue with more of your phone calls right here. The Paul Feinbaum Show is presented by Beef. It's what's for dinner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and we are going to continue with more of your phone calls, and Derek is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Mr. Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about this South Carolina-Tennessee game coming up.
Okay. What do you think?
You know, I really don't think that you give South Carolina enough credit here. You know, I mean, we lost two ball games,
Derek,
and that's to a Georgia, which everybody's going to lose to.
Why should I give them credit? What have they done?
Well, our defense is playing good ball. That's why I think you should give a little bit of credit. Clayton White defense, they playing good ball.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see this weekend. I think them Gamecocks is going to come up 21-20.
Okay, well, listen, if you are correct, I want to hear from you Monday, feeding me some crow. But I don't think I'm really not hungry for that. Let's continue with John, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Love your show, brother.
Thank you.
I just heard the guy Derek from South Carolina talking about how the Gamecocks are going to do this and that, but tell you my story. I've been a Gamecock fan since the Paul Dietzel days and Frank McGuire, so that tell you how far back I go.
Years ago.
But the reality of the whole thing is South Carolina does not have the tradition. They don't have the culture. We love our school, but when you're in the SEC East and you're looking up at Kentucky every year, you got a long way to go. Now, Mark Stoops has done a great job at Kentucky. I mean, you have to admit, he has done a fabulous job at Kentucky. But South Carolina's not a power. They're never going to be a power. They're going to have to change the culture down there. Now, Shane Beamer is a good guy. If they leave him there long enough to build something, he can pull it up a little bit. You know, he can go a little bit with the program. But, see, these fans want a 60-minute fix. If you don't win this year, we want another coach. I mean, that's the way some of the fans are. But it's just not going to happen. And I just wanted to let you know that there are people, there are some of us here. My wife graduated from South Carolina. My daughter graduated from South Carolina. And we just love them. But we're realistic. We know. They're a good school, a great school, but they're not a powerhouse. And you know, that's just where it is. People need to get a grip. I just wanted to share that with you because I think you feel the same way I do about it.
Well, yeah, and you know, some of my thoughts are because I was just there 2 weeks ago. It has a great fan base, but tradition, no. There is no tradition there. And it's a fan base that always seems to get a little bit ahead of reality, like right before the Georgia game this year. Let's continue and talk to Mad Dog is up next. Hey, Mad Dog.
Hey, Paul. It's a thrill to be back on your incredible show. How you doing today?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Well, I want to remind you that you are the inspiration for my new podcast, The Mad Dog Show.
Really?
And we're about halfway through the regular season. We've had some guests that far exceeded my expectations. We had Mark Slaball. He's coming back next week. And we've even ignited a beef with Kirk Herbstreit, of all people.
How could you possibly do that?
Well, it's no secret that Kirk promotes Ohio State over the SEC, and he's especially biased against Georgia because of the huge part he played in the only loss that Ohio State ever had against Georgia in 1993. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
So it was the Citrus Bowl, and Kirk was the quarterback. And, well, let me just tell you what their coach said. This comes from the Baltimore Sun. The Bulldogs' ability to throw the ball and our inability to throw it was probably the difference. That was Ohio State coach John Cooper. And then Kirk himself said, for some reason, I was pressing a little bit. I could never find a groove. But then the final nail in the hobnail boot came when Ohio State was on our 15. On third down, Kirk turned to hand the ball off and collided with his own running back, and the ball was fumbled, and we pounced on it. Now, Paul, you know how defensive players are. They're not known to – you know, have the most, I don't know, they don't talk like people talk in church. They like to trash talk, and I have it from very good sources that some very unchristian-like things may have been said, and things were said that couldn't be unheard and probably very hard for Kirk to forget, much less forgive. And so for years now, he just makes these little backhanded compliments like, Georgia's resume, limited though it may be, and then last week, you know, he's talking about football powerhouse programs and specifically leaves Georgia off. And this goes on and on all the way back to just different times where he's just flat out campaigned for Ohio State to be in the playoffs over us. And so what I did was I said, I'll be the bigger man. Let's have a truce. Let's have a treaty. I will apologize on behalf of Georgia's potentially unsportsmanlike conduct from back in 1993. And in exchange for that, Kirk will accept the apology and agree to stop being biased against us. And as a small favor, we just do this in Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and I'll be the guest picker on College Football Game Day. I think that's a fair deal.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't heard from Kirk with that type of challenge. Let's talk to Big L. Big L, good afternoon.
Mr. Young man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
Look, I'm told y'all the SEC Nation is going to be at the Kentucky-LSU game.
That is correct.
That is correct. You're going to be at the table also?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Now, look, if they put the mascot up there, please don't mess with the mascot.
Are you talking about the Kentucky mascot or the LSU mascot?
Yeah, the Kentucky. Oh, no, the LSU mascot is just way too big. But they put a Wildcat up there.
Yeah, usually at the end of the show when we make the predictions, the mascots are hanging around. So why should I not mess with the Wildcat?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Look, I watched the LSU-Auburn game, and they got a lot of LSU fans really shook up. You know, and I suspect that's the result of the way we played against UCLA. It's still Ann Warren off them.
Hey, thank you for the call. Kevin is in Ohio. Hey, Kevin, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I called the other day, dishing on the legend a little bit. I want to apologize to Alabama fans because I kind of said that he makes them look bad. Some people took it out of context as far as friends of mine that are Alabama fans. Alabama's a great school. I love Nick Saban. Nick Saban was the head coach at the University of Toledo for the 1 year he was there when I was there my sophomore year. So I've always been a Saban fan. But the legend does make them look bad, but I'm not comparing Bama fans to the legend. So I apologize for any confusion there. But just wanted to get that back out there. But, yeah, again, legend, you are unique, my friend.
Peggy is up next. Hey, Peggy, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
First time got through. Been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
Just want to say how much I enjoy listening to you.
Appreciate that.
Also, I want to let you know I went to medical school with your lovely wife.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Paul, yes, Paul, you absolutely outkicked your coverage. So, congratulations.
Well, you need to tell me some secrets. What was she like back in college?
She was elegant, lovely, and unbelievably classy. But you know that.
Oh, I did know that. I was looking for more dirt, but I guess that's it.
No, you won't get dirt on her because there is no dirt.
Well, I know there's the biggest difference between Linda and myself in college is she studied. I didn't.
She absolutely did. She is a lovely person, and like I said, you are an incredibly lucky man. I've been listening to you for a long time since you know I went to school with your wife. You know
sure.
how old I am.
Right.
I have to say that when I was younger, I didn't enjoy your column in the Birmingham News as much as I enjoy listening to you now.
Well, the good news, Peggy, is that I was much younger and much more foolish back then, and I've grown up. It took me a long time to do so. But first of all, I appreciate more than anything your kind comments about my wife. That means a great deal.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm actually a big-time Auburn fan, and so I really like your insight, and I enjoy listening to your callers. No matter what they have to say, they're very entertaining and always insightful.
Okay, well, I can't wait to tell her that I spoke to you. Peggy, you be well. Thanks so much for the call. We are heading to a break. And speaking of Auburn, which is Peggy's favorite football team, Tony Barnhart will give us a lowdown on why the Georgia-Auburn game is so special. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
And that is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and we are going to talk a little bit more about the Georgia-Auburn game in just a minute. First of all, Gene is up next. Hey, Gene, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was just going to talk about the Georgia game. If all these Auburn fans think that Bo Nix is going to run around the backfield like he did against LSU, they're dead wrong. That Georgia defense is going to collapse them. And they're going to squash him like a bug. There's just no way they're going to give him the time to run around like he did.
I would agree with you. They're a much different defense. Hey, thank you for the call. We are really excited to welcome back to the show Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, who's been to a few of the, not all of the Georgia-Auburn games in history, but maybe more than most. Tony, great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks, Paul. Boy, it's hard to believe it's week six, huh? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and you and I remember back not too long ago when the Georgia-Auburn game was not week six. It was pretty much right before the end of the season, and I loved it in that position. I'm sure you did, too.
I did. I did not like the idea of moving it to October. It didn't feel right. We're used to going to Auburn and Athens when the shadows are getting long and you have that – the grass is turning and all that, and this feels kind of different, but it still feels like one of the great rivalries in the game.
I want to ask you, Tony, because I went, you know, my first Auburn-Georgia game was in the now famous 1980 year that you Georgia folks feel like you're still living in. And the Iron Bowl, of course, was the centerpiece in the state I lived in. But other than that, this is a game I would not miss under any circumstances. And I didn't go to either school. Why is this game so special?
It's so special because of, well, first of all, it goes all the way back to 1892 when the first game was played in Piedmont Park in Atlanta. It's the oldest continuous rivalry in the Deep South. And really, it's all
Tony,
the connection. All you need to
in 1892. Where were you at the Atlanta Journal yet?
No, not yet. Quite. Okay. I'd done some time in South Carolina with a newspaper there, and then I got to the
okay.
Atlanta.
You missed that game.
Yeah. No, all you need to know about the connection between Georgia and Auburn is that the field at Georgia is named after an Auburn grad, and the field at Auburn is named after a Georgia grad. That's all you need to know.
Says it all.
Yep.
And that's what got me because, you know, within a year of my first game, those two coaches were there. And there was just – I guess that was it. And that wasn't the only thing, too, Tony. It just seemed like half the people that worked in the athletic department at Auburn had gone to Georgia.
Joel Eaves, who hired Vince Dooley at Georgia, was his basketball coach at Auburn, and
right.
He worked in the football office with at Auburn, and yeah, there's Coach Shug Jordan had worked at Georgia. I think when he got the Auburn head job. So yeah, there are just so many the famous war between the hoses game when they turned on the water cannons on the Georgia fans in '86. A guy named Kermit Perry, who was the director of operations, turned on the cannon. Kermit Perry was a former track star at Georgia.
No, it's but, you know, I guess this game means a lot to different people. But to me, it's Pat Dye versus Vince Dooley. And we lost Coach Dye. And I have not talked to Coach Dooley in a short period of time. I hope he's doing okay.
Had a chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, and he is doing well. And he remains trying to keep his travel schedule. He remains one of the most intellectually curious people I've ever met. He is something special.
Well, Tony, let's talk about the 2021 Dogs, because they don't look like any Georgia team I've seen in a long time. What is your assessment after 5 weeks?
Certainly the best defense that Georgia's had in a long, long time. It's hard to compare other teams, but just the fact that it is a suffocating defense that you can't run. They've only given up one offensive touchdown, and that was at mop-up time against South Carolina. So that you can hang your hat on a defense like that. Georgia's a very, very good football team. I was at the game in Athens last week against Arkansas, and it was clear. I'd seen them on television, but it was clear early on how that game was going to go. Georgia's that good.
Tony Barnhart with us, of course. Tony, let's talk about a couple of the other big stories currently going on in the SEC. And LSU plays up at Lexington on Saturday night, and it just seemed like yesterday we were talking about what an amazing job Ed Orgeron was doing, and now people are wondering if he's going to make it to the end of the season. What's your assessment of that situation?
I would say this is a huge quality of life game for Ed Orgeron. You've got to figure out a way to win a game like this, but they just haven't been able to run the football. Very inconsistent play. The defense has been really up and down, and they're playing a Kentucky team that's coming off one of the bigger wins in their history to finally beat Florida at home in such a long time, and have Georgia coming up next week. It's a good time to play Kentucky. The first place in the SEC East is probably going to be on the line next week. I'm not going to say that Ed Orgeron is going to get fired if he doesn't win this game, but the heat gets turned up even more, and that's not a great situation.
And yeah, let's say he doesn't win, and Kentucky is a slight favorite. Then he's home against a bitter foe in the University of Florida, which is a pretty desperate team right now, not to drop another game. And after that, it's at Ole Miss, bye week, at Alabama and Arkansas. I mean, Tony, realistically, and you've watched a lot of SEC football, I act like you have and I haven't, but I mean, how many wins in this five-game stretch is likely?
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of wins there, Paul. I got the schedule right here in front of me, and if they can't find a win against Kentucky, they do get Florida at home, but I think Florida's going to play well at Ole Miss, at Alabama, Arkansas. I don't see a whole lot of wins there. I really don't.
And I know there is a precedent, the Gene Chizik precedent, which I'm sure Chizik is tired of hearing about. winning a championship and 2 years later being gone. But this is the SEC, and it really shouldn't even be that surprising, should it?
No, it really shouldn't. I mean, there is precedent for it. And quite honestly, let's be honest, Coach O's, after the national championship season, his coaching hires have not panned out very well, if you're going to be honest about it. And that's a big deal. You've got to have talent. You've got to have talent on the field, but you've also got to have talent on that coaching staff. And that part of it just has simply not worked out.
Tony, you're plugged into so many people that matter in college athletics, inside the SEC and out. Let me ask you about two important questions. First of all, the expansion, which has come and gone like a comet. Where are we right now, and what do you think it is going to look like whenever these people decide?
I think ultimately, Paul, we are going to a 12-team playoff because that's going to serve the most people and help the most people. I don't think eight really gives you any more. And like Commissioner Sankey has said, hey, four is working for us just fine. Thank you for asking. So I think it will happen. The question, the variable now, is when will it happen? And there's obviously been a case by the Alliance commissioners that they want to wait and do it, and so they can have more players involved in the playoff to generate the most income. I would really hate it if we had to go all the way to 2026 after the fans got so excited. Because, Paul, I'm telling you, in my travels around, fans love this idea. They really like the idea of the 12-team playoff and the opportunities it presents. I really hope we don't have to go all the way to 2026 to do it.
Second question, Tony, when are we going to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC? And when we see them, what is the structure of the league going to look like?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen by 2023. I'd like to see 2022, but certainly by 2023, in my opinion. And to me, this is and I've said this talking to folks, is that, Paul, I think the SEC has to use this opportunity to completely revamp the scheduling model, be it with, you know, groups of four. I'm not going to use the word pods. I just have an objection to it. But it has to be something so that teams play each other on a basis much more often than they do. And frankly, the fans want it. When you talk to the fans, they're tired of seeing the same seven games on their schedule every single year. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the SEC to completely revamp the scheduling model, and I think that's what they'll do.
We have Pete Stoddard coming on in a few minutes to talk about Louis Grizzard. We talked to him as an author, but you knew Louis. Would Louis be doing right now? Well, I think I know what he would be doing right this second, 2 days before a football game. But what was he like to be around?
Incredible humor. Loved his Georgia Bulldogs. I always walked by his tailgating spot when he would go to Georgia games, and just he was an American original. There's no doubt about it.
And if you don't know what Louis would be doing at 3:45, 48 hours before the Auburn Georgia game, you did not know Louis Grizzard.
No, you did not know Louis Grizzard. He would be putting on his game face right now and saying, okay, we'll stop at Moreland on the way, but let's get to Auburn. Okay?
Let's get there. They're playing. Tony, so great to have you on, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
The one and only Tony Barnhart, he talked about Louis Grizzard being an American original. So is Tony Barnhart, one of the all-time legends in the media when it comes to the SEC, and also one of the most beloved and well-liked people in the industry. We will take a break, coming back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. And who better to go to on a Thursday afternoon but legend. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, my friend?
Legend, I know we got you in the middle of a thunderstorm the other day, so it is great to have you back.
Am I sounding better today?
You sound like $1 million, or maybe I'm not sure that's enough.
It might not be, Paul, because if life got any better, baby, I'd have to pay somebody to help me enjoy it.
I like that.
When you're the king, Paul, when you're the king, baby, when you got 18 national championship, heavyweight championship belts hanging on the wall.
Yeah, but
every
legend,
day.
Legend, hold on 1 second, though, because I don't like to do this, but I have to read back something to you that we had here yesterday, if you don't mind, okay?
Go ahead.
We had a guy named Red Dog call in. You've heard of him. And he said, and I quote, "I don't think Alabama can score more than 10 points against Georgia. Maybe 14. In other words, tied going down to the Dogs.
If we score 14, we beat them by 10.
All-time setup for legend there.
Because I'm giving P. Goat in a two-week contract extension, Paul, after his last performance. So
that was pretty good.
I gave him a two-week contract extension. You know, Paul, I've heard of Red Dog on your show, and I've heard of Mad Dog. And I keep hearing Georgia bumping that chest, you know. But funny thing is, Paul, the only dog I remember come title time is a yellow dog. That's right, Sean. You're a yellow dog. You yellow. Oh, yellow when it comes to Alabama, baby. That's what you are, Georgia. You're old yellow when it comes to Alabama, baby. Hey, Paul, I heard this mayor of Ding Dong City from Ohio, this butthurt Ohio State fan, want to keep taking a shot at the legend, you know, another loose cannon going bipolar. Let me tell you something. I never claimed to speak for the University of Alabama. Matter of fact, I get Alabama hate mail all the time. I'm the president of the Sidewalk Alumni. I'm kin to the trucker, to the ditch worker, to a guy that's not afraid to let his freak flag fly when it comes to college football and let it hang out there like you got some big kahunas, brother. That's who I kin to. I never claimed to speak for the University of Alabama. A lot of folks at the University of Alabama don't like the legend, but there's a lot of them that love him too. So get it right, brother. I speak for the legend. And every time one of you radio gangsters or Twitter gangsters want to step up to legend, I'm not hard to find, brother. You can find me any freaking time you want to. Because just like K-Dub said in the past, when we met you radio gangsters in person, it was all Hallmark and flowers.
The one and only legend as we head to the break.